All right. So if we go to the next slide, that is a small group that we attended of students. And most of the work that they're actually doing, they're doing among students. And I must say, they are exceptionally focused. The Chinese guy that is standing just next to me there on the slide, sort of second from the top, he's a leader of the students there. And these guys are not afraid. I mean, that was something to see. These guys are not scared. I mean, we, first time we met them, the students, we didn't only deal with students, we met the the church as well. And so the first night we actually went out to a place, we had supper, and then they've got sort of a private lounge that you can sit and if you order enough food. And we just spoke to them at length. At the end, we just prayed for them, laid on hands, everything. And as we were praying for them, you know, there was actually people that came in, and that was sort of an awkward situation for me because now, we've laid down our hands on this guy. We're praying for him. Do we now take our hands off and pretend we're not praying? Because now if I notice and they give this guy up to the authorities, you know, what's going to happen? And he just looked at the guy, and because I looked at him, he did not blink once. These guys are not scared. And I think that was really amazing. The lady that you see at the bottom with her hair sort of done up next to Yvonne, she's actually quite old. She's about 65 plus. She's actually a lecturer at the university. By the way, you cannot estimate their age. They look very young. It was actually very interesting. Many things has changed in terms of Christianity, but she obviously went through sort of a bad patch, you know, where they were really persecuted. And I must say, it was actually quite daunting because you're now chatting about stuff and she just looks at you like this. You're like, oh, yammer tani. And, but you know, these guys are really the future, and they're doing amazing things there. This is sort of just a photo where we are at the church itself. If we go to the next slide. So let's start talking a bit about the church and the things there, because I think it's great just to learn from them and to see what is happening. Obviously, everyone knows about the persecution. Now, again, I can only talk about Beijing. I can't say what is happening in the rest of China. It might look very much different there. But now, what is very interesting is many things has actually changed there because of a huge influx of money. Now, what was so difficult for me actually is getting there. My expectation is people are very poor. It's really going to struggle. You know, I saw myself fasting for 10 days and not taking a shower because that's how it's going to be. You know, I really thought it's going to be sort of out there. And it wasn't. The influx of money is huge. The second thing that is happening is that at least it seems that the government has changed many of its policies. Now, they're not actively persecuting Christians in places like Beijing. What they do is they discriminate against them. Because here's the thing. The whole Chinese society has become exceptionally aspirational. Everywhere you look, there's malls that look exactly like Canal Walk, exactly like V&A. You don't see any Chinese dress anywhere. Everyone is dressed in a Western way. And the stud muffins that we see in Cape Town, they came to Beijing before I came there. Because everyone looks like that. It is exceptional, aspirational society. They want to make money. Everything revolves around making money. And what happens is that the government actually gives space for people to make money. You can make good money if you play according to the rules. Can I give you an example? Obviously, historically, they've got a very bad relationship with Taiwan if you go through history. You know what they're doing now? The relationship with Taiwan is amazing. You know how they do that? They make it exceptionally easy for the Taiwanese people to come into China and to make good money. So what happens? The Taiwanese people love China. Why not? You see, and I've come to realize this is way more of a danger than persecution. Because materialism, if you're confronted with it all the time, you see it in every subway, you see it in every advertisement board, and you know, that was so funny because it's very much different than Cape Town, but it's exactly the same in Cape Town. If you're confronted with it all the time, and all that you see is you must earn this much to get that thing, to be this person, I think that is a far more effective tool by the enemy than persecution. You know what's the number one thing that people asked, because we spend a lot of time just praying with people? You know what was the number one thing that they asked that we should pray for them? Get a good work. get a husband or a wife. Does that sound familiar? You know, that was not my expectation. I didn't think that's going to be, you know, what you're going to find there. Saying that, what happens with a church is that public meetings cannot be more than 300 people. And if you're larger than 300 people, they actively act against the churches, especially if it's a church in Beijing that they're actively persecuting on the stage, that's 1,000 strong, and they're making it actually very difficult for them. So what they do is they keep on planting churches. And the church, to a large extent, is still underground, which is ironic because everything is flat, in flat, so they're not really underground. They're sort of way above the ground. Okay. And what they do is they keep on growing the church, and then when the church gets closer to 300, they just multiply it. So it doesn't become too noticeable. Now, this actually where we met there, that is in a flat complex, quite a couple of stories high. It's sort of in a corner area. And what they do is they soundproof it. I mean, and think about that, how different it is from how we do church. They cannot advertise events. You kind of put logos on, this is who we are. You cannot do it at all like we do it. Which is very interesting. We'll get to that just now, because I think that is one of the biggest things I learned from them. What I also saw is that because a society is so exceptionally secular, the people there have really no idea what it means when you say God. We spoke to many people that's not Christians, and they ask what we're doing here, so we'll chat. They do a lot of effort to learn English, so actually with a lot of people could speak English. Very pragmatic people, they even choose English names. So if you introduce yourself to a person, they'll give you their English name so you can actually converse with them. And what is interesting is I spend a lot of time just asking questions, just trying to understand what is happening. So if I ask them, you know, they ask me what I do, I'm honest about it. I say I work for a church. And they're like, oh, that's interesting. Wow. So then I ask them, so Christianity, what do you think Christianity is? And what is interesting is that all of them think it's like a form, almost like Confucianism, like a wisdom type of thing. It's people that do good stuff and they, you know, they try and live a moral life. But the concept of God, of meeting with God, is actually very anemic. All right, and even with the young Christians coming in, it is really a struggle for them. They are a very intellectual bunch, I must say. There was actually Christian bookstores there. If you go into the Christian bookstores, what do you see? C.S. Lewis in Chinese. I liked it. All right, commentaries in Chinese. That's a book that they sell. They take it on a very intellectual level. But for the new believers, it's actually very hard for them to understand the supernatural things. And they're really hungry for it. You know, if you give somebody prophetic words, listen, I was praying until my tongue was hanging like that golf. I promise you, I was praying for people till I was klar, finished and klar. But you know how they actually cherish that? If you give anyone a prophetic word, if you say, well, I think God is, they go like, wait. They pull out the MP3 recorder. Zip, and they record it. And you know, that was actually precious, because immediately you could really feel God moving, because they're hungry for it. And I want to challenge you, we often go off and we say, we come from a religious environment. People are religious. But you know what? Thank God that there's still some semblance of understanding there is a God and some semblance of respect for the Bible. Because I tell you, without that, it is really hard to speak to people about anything pertaining to God. Anything can be used. But you know what's negative about our society? We are very glib about the things of God, because it's freely available to us. I cannot tell you when last I've seen somebody take any earnest with a prophetic word that you give. Okay, yeah, whatever. Can I ask it? And you know, I'm the same. Because we get so accustomed to it, so accustomed to the things of God. And I want to tell you something that is very interesting to me about South Africa still, is that we do have a heart for God. We do have the ability to enter the supernatural. It's interesting, but one missionary said to us, South Africans has got a reputation for coming so easily to God. Now, we don't see it because, you know, we live in this environment. But it's so much easier than elsewhere.
And this is our strong point as people, and certainly as a church, this is our strong point. We connect easily with the things of God, and we should not underestimate that or neglect that.
Sorry, I just want to... Oh, yes, and just for interest's sake, that was a slide. If we go to the next photo, that was a PowerPoint in Chinese. Couldn't understand a word, but it worked well. It worked well. All right, now, let's talk a bit about that. Let's get to what did I feel God really say to us about that. If we go to the next slide, I just want to read these verses from Ephesians. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Of this, I'm really convinced concerning God. God is a God who adopts all the time. None of us come to God naturally. None of us are born in the kingdom of God or in the family of God. But God has got such a father heart that he adopts all the time. And I think one of the things that really amazes us from doing missions or from doing outreach somewhere else that is not linked to this church specifically is that you actually see God doing the same thing everywhere. We spoke several times in this church, and I tell you what, in the end, it felt like our church. It felt like family, even though you couldn't understand a word they're saying. And God wants to adopt people everywhere. And I think what I learned from them, and yeah, I really want to get to the gist of it, what makes them successful? What makes them successful is not necessarily just the fact that they had persecution. I think it helps. I think it helps because it leaves you in a place of what is really important and what is not important. Okay? What really makes them especially effective is they've got this one thing down to a T, and that's the whole thing of discipleship. Let's go to the next slide. The essence of church is making disciples. That's all they care about. They don't care about the size of a band, because you can't have a big band because people will hear you. They don't care about the programs because you can't invite somebody to a program because it's an event and you can't advertise it. They don't care how it looks because here's the thing. They have to keep it small, they have to keep it secretive, and then multiply and go for the next one. They really only care about one thing, and that is making disciples. And you know how they do that? Easy. They make friends. They make friends. That's it. But because they've got such a singular focus, I really believe that God blesses them because of us. You know, there's many things that we have that they don't have. I want to say that as well. And I want to challenge you this evening. I want to say to you, you will never find the perfect church. Their church is not perfect, and neither is this church perfect. And neither will be any church that you go to be perfect. And that is not the point. The point is not to come to a perfect church. The point is to be part of how God is perfecting his bride. That is the point of church. And right now I want to talk about some stuff, because I've been waiting and leaving it for a while and sort of sweeping it underneath a carpet because I wanted to understand it better and think a bit about it slightly better. And I do want to mention it to you now. There has been some instances where people have left this church this year and last year. Now, we don't say these things from the front because, you know, you never want to look bad to anyone. It's almost like you always want to appear to have a perfect marriage, even though you don't. And even though everyone knows there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. But you never want to look weak or like you don't know what you're doing or maybe you're bad in front of people. And I also wanted to understand what is happening and what is not happening. I think I understand now. And I want to challenge you with this.
in general in Cape Town, I'm not talking about this congregation, I'm talking about the church in Cape Town, we don't make disciples. Our idea of discipleship is to take good Christians and try and make them better Christians. Now, what is interesting to me is they are so consumed with discipleship, that is all that they care about. How do they define discipleship? And there's three ways in which they define discipleship with the churches that we worked with. So if we go to the next slide. What is a disciple? Let's go to the next one. And then after that. They say discipleship is relationship, but it's relationship on three levels. And they say that if you don't have one of the three, you're not a disciple. It's just that simple. And they do it very simple. They say the first relationship is to have a relationship with God. You cannot be a disciple if you don't have a relationship with God. You can know everything, you can say everything, or in that case, know nothing and say nothing. I mean, it was so refreshing as well to deal with people that has never heard. One of the tour guides that helped us walk around in Tenement Square, he's a guy, a young guy, that came to Christ a month ago. He doesn't even have a lingo correct. He says, I've been following the God for a month now. That is how he puts it. But you know, he's growing. Relating to God. Now, I want to say this is our strong point. When I look at you, I know that you have a good relationship with God compared to what is out there. I know that you have a sincerity and a passion and a desire to know God and to follow God and to be more like God. I do not doubt that for any single moment. I know that among you there is such a spiritual vitality and spiritual gift to be given, and that you're very powerful in the spirit and in intercession. You might not realize it, and we'll come to that a bit later, but you are. There's a second relationship that they look at if we go to the next one. And that is relating to the lost. They say it this simple. If you don't have a relationship with lost people or unsaved people, you're not a disciple of Jesus. No confusion. And you know how they say that? Or how they do that? Because we get weird when we start talking about people that do not know Christ, right? You know, you do your work, you do it excellent at work, and then suddenly one day you have a conviction that you must share to somebody about Christ. Then you go to the bloke that you least likely know, and you're like, okay, let me get some water first. Okay, then you're praying a bit in tongues. You're thinking about this one. Okay. Now I'm going back. And by that time, this guy's thinking, I'm getting fired. Why is this bloke so stressed out? Right? And then you get all weird and freaky on the guy. Right? And maybe by grace, this bloke is actually so desperate for God that he just goes like, oh, thank you, somebody finally is talking to me, you know? But a lot of time people go like, I'm glad it works for you. Have you heard that line? Yeah, I've heard that one as well. You know what they say? Very easy. They say, do the things that you love to do. Amen. If you love riding that bike, great. If you love watching rugby, hallelujah, great. But whatever you love to do, make sure that you always invite somebody that is not in the kingdom of God. And let them see and let them experience. Build relationship. You know, we get so freaky because we get to the nth degree. The nth degree of the nth heaven. You know, like Paul, who went to heaven, we left him in our dust. He's still on his GPS trying to find us. Okay? And we lose touch with people out there. And you know what's the number one question these days that I ask people that consider leaving church? I ask them two questions. I ask them, when last did you actually disciple somebody? And then I ask them, when last did you actually go on missions? We'll get to that just now. Now, I'm not saying this to condemn you. But I'm saying this to lift all this clutter that's on our minds. Because we see discipleship as becoming perfect little Christians. And so long I'm in my perfect little Christian circle, with my perfect friends, in my perfect church, then I'm happy. But you know what? After a while, you're there and it sucks. Because something is missing. You think, I'm not a disciple. I'm missing God somewhere. This church is not good enough. Maybe I'm not good enough. And you know, then we get all weird and freaky with people. Instead of realizing, make friends. Make friends. That's all you need to do. Make friends. Invite somebody into your life. Let them see, let them experience. And you know what? People are more than willing to talk about the things of God. And people are more than willing to come to church and watch us do our thing. That is not the issue. The issue is that people do not want to know about the things of God without having a relationship. Now, I must be honest, we weak with this. And can I tell you why? Because we don't grow through small groups. We only grow through church services. We get more people into this church. I'm not saying this to condemn you. I'm just saying this so we can be honest. We can talk about stuff. We get more people coming into church that visits on a Sunday evening because they saw advertisement than we get people coming into this church because somebody made a friend and said, hey, come and join me for small group. Which tells me that our growth is not healthy. And which tells me that we are missing something. The third one is this, the third relationship, very simple, relating to the church. You're not a disciple if you don't come to small group and church service. It's just that simple. Now, obviously, we're not saying you must do it every Sunday or else you're not a disciple of Christ. I'm not saying that. And you know, there's something that we do have here, but you know what is our issue in Cape Town? We isolate ourselves. The moment something goes wrong, what do? We go and hide in a corner. We don't come to church. We don't chat to people. We don't connect with people. We don't have fellowship. Three definitions that they put it in. And you know what? I think they're actually correct. If we go to the next slide, another way perhaps of putting it is this. Exactly the same three things, but just another way of putting it. And the first one is to be a follower of Christ. Just to follow Christ. Even if you're not doing it perfectly, that's fine. Just follow Christ. The second one is to be a fisher of people. Jesus, when he called the disciples, said, I will make you fishers of men, of people. It's just that simple. And the third one is to be in fellowship with believers, to have a true connection with believers. If you do these three things, you're a disciple. If you don't do these three things, you're not a disciple. It's sincerely what they believe, and you know what? I actually think they're correct. Now, let's talk a bit about that if we go to the next slide. If we're not disciple makers, this church will not become the Father's house. It will become a rented house. And yeah, I really want to get to the discipleship issue. Why is that important? Why is that the number one focus? Because two things happen when we see discipleship as making good Christians perfect Christians. Two things happen. The first thing that happens is that we as individuals don't feel good enough until we're perfect. You know, I think many times we believe that you can only do ministry, and by ministry I mean doing work for God, any type of work for God, not preaching necessarily, but anything for God. We can only do anything for God if we are already perfect. So we put so much pressure on ourselves to be perfect all the time. Listen, just by way of honesty, just to put it out there tonight, who of you, I'm going to raise my hand as well, who of you this year have said to yourself, I am not good enough? Just being honest. Just keep those hands up and then look around. You know what happens? We don't feel good enough, so then we don't disciple people. You know what they believe? They believe you can disciple anyone so long you've read one more chapter in the Bible than they did. Now, you're laughing about that because when I heard it, I also started laughing. You know what? Because I also bought into this thing that you must be first this amazing person, and then you can do anything for God. And so what happens? We leave the discipling of people over to somebody else. We leave it over to a foundation. We leave it over to a Bible school. And we focus on becoming perfect little Christians. But here's the difficulty.
We don't minister because we mature. We become mature by ministering. And therefore, the best thing any new believer can do is to immediately start discipling other people. And you know when the penny really dropped for me? I was chatting to this one bloke. We were in a taxi driving back. The public transport, I must say, is really amazing. We were in a taxi. We were driving back and just chatting to this guy. This guy is Chinese as well. Grew up in Britain. Went to the best universities there. Come from a very wealthy family. His wife is from China, from I think Shanghai, if I remember correctly. Also come from a very wealthy family. They left everything to go to Beijing because they really wanted to follow God. And as we're chatting, he said to me, you know what? I think in 2 years, I'm not going to be in Beijing anymore. I'm going to be in this place. But before my 2 years are up, I am standing in faith to make 20 disciples who also makes disciples. And you know what? Then the penny dropped. Because you know what they stand in faith for? They don't stand in faith that their small group will multiply. They don't stand in faith that the church will be that big. They don't stand in faith that they will have this budget or that budget, because those things are meaningless to them because they cannot operate according to it. They stand in faith, everyone in the church stands in faith and say, how many people will I disciple who are also people who make disciples? And I want to challenge you on that, because here's the thing. You don't know how long you're going to be in Cape Town. Perhaps you know. Perhaps you're one of those freaky people that's got your 5-year plan completely sorted. Okay? But perhaps you don't completely know how long you're going to be here. If you want meaning, listen to me now. If you want meaning in what you're doing here in Cape Town, you've got to say to yourself, I want to leave something behind that is of lasting value. And you know what you leave behind that is of lasting value? People. And you know what I realized? He's not the only guy that's got faith for that. Each one of them comes and says, you know, I've got faith for this. Whatever God lays on their heart. Now let's talk about that. One thing that happens is, like I say, this curse of perfectionism. I cannot do anything until I'm not perfect. And you know what? That's a curse. Because what happens is we get critical of ourselves and we get critical of other people. You know what's our number one weakness? I would say the churches in Cape Town, just I'm dealing a lot with other churches in Cape Town, meeting with their leaders, building bridges, learning, just seeing what they're doing. And they say the same thing. You know what the number one problem is? Fear. We're so afraid. We're so afraid we're not good enough. We're so afraid something's not going to happen for us. We're so afraid that something is going to happen to us. And those fears come from the fact that we try so hard to be so perfect, but we miss the point. You know how freeing it is to stand in front of you and to know I don't have to be perfect? Because I'm not. In many things, I suck. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Anna. But you know what? It's great. Jesus said there's only one that is good, and that is God. And people don't have to become like me, but I can introduce people to God. And I can help people to become more like Christ. Now, I promise you next year, we're going to be practical about this and we're going to help you how to do this. It's easy peasy. But I tell you what, if you do not say to yourself, you know what, I'm not perfect, but I'm going to go for it. If you do not say that to yourself, you will become disillusioned with your walk with God. I promise you that. Because you will end up not following Him. The second thing that happens to church is that church then becomes a service center. Because if we're not here to build a relationship with people that do not know Christ and to disciple them, each one of us, then our job as a church is to make good Christians perfect Christians. And we become a service center. Now we become like the society around us. We're all consumed with giving a service and getting something for that.
And that's why I say it becomes a rented house, because here's the thing. You can live in an amazing rented house. I remember the bloke that had the best bachelor's pad was Etienne. Now, ladies, you probably would not have appreciated his pad. No, Elizabeth, no, no. When he married, the first thing that happened is that he moved out of his pad. But I want to tell you, blokes, it was the perfect bachelor's pad. On one side, you had the ocean. On the other side, you had the mountain. It was just like so close. It was amazing. You know, you can live in the most amazing place that is suited to your needs, but in a rented house, you always know that somewhere, someday, either the place is not going to be good enough for you, or you're not going to be good enough for the landlord. But somebody is getting kicked out. And it would suck if that is how we do church. It would suck if church is all about trying to be perfect and trying to see if I'm in the perfect institution. And you know how you have that, by the way? You know how you have it? Easy test for yourself. If you sit here tonight and you say, you know, if I'm really honest, I'm actually very critical. I'm actually very critical of church, and I'm actually very critical of people. That's the one thing that I've noticed outside as well. They're not critical at all. Even of their own government, they never criticize. Never. Ever. Ever. And in fact, that was a bit scary for me. I'll go like so now. They won't say we persecuted against us. Say, ach, they just discriminate against us. That's it. The only guy that was honest enough was actually, interesting enough, a Chinese guy from Britain, but it's because he grew up in a British culture. You know what easily happens to us, and I'm the same, is we go like, yes, that was great, but. By the way, Nell, congratulations with your birthday. I was looking for you all the time, and I finally saw you. Congratulations. See, you are hiding there behind Willem. Willem is thinking a lot, so it's like, couldn't quite see you. let's see, where was I? See, now you distracted me. Critical. You get critical. You get critical. And that is church without discipleship. Listen, guys, for too long, we've left discipleship for somebody else. I want to challenge you with that. Let God speak. I'm not going to come here and go to you and go like, Alexa, you must disciple 30 people. Okay, done. Natasha, let's make it a 30 as well, but Fred, 50. All right? I'm not going to do that. Let God speak to you. But you know what really moved me in Kailicha? I was looking at those young kids, 10 years old, and there was a certain innocence that was just amazing. None of the snottiness and the brattiness that comes with rich environments. And they've not been polluted yet by the environment and the incredible disintegration of society that we find on many levels, especially in the townships. And I realized, you know, if one person can just touch the life of one kid in there, you save a whole family. You save a whole generation. In our culture, we've got such an obsession with numbers and with external things. We can be a church of 50,000 people and it can say nothing about who we are. Or we can be a church of 20 people who actively makes disciples and that says much more of who we are. And this is the reason why the church in China grows that much. Because yes, it takes time to disciple one person. But that one person who disciples another person grows exponentially all the time. Until a whole nation is reached. Because if you change one person, you change everyone eventually. You know, and I think I've got to confess to you guys as well. I do think I've been putting a lot of burden on you to be perfect. I must be honest. And that was wrong. So all the time we're looking at, can somebody do it? Can somebody not do it? And for too long, I've noticed in this church, there's such anxiety about performance. Am I good enough? Am I not good enough? You know what? I take personal responsibility for that. But I want to challenge you tonight about what is meaningful to you. You can be the CEO of a company and never touch anyone's life. Or you can be the CEO of a company and change a whole generation. Because our definition is wrong as well. We say you either must be a CEO of a company, or you must be somebody that really lives for the gospel, but you can't be both. I just want to say as well, that sucks. Whoever said that is lying to you. God has made you to do well. I'm using that word sucking way too much today. God has made you to do incredible things and to advance you wherever you are. So long you understand wherever God places you, whether that be a housewife, whether it be a student, whether it be a CEO, wherever it may be, God has placed you there to touch people's lives. And if you can accept that, you will have a meaningful and significant life wherever you are. If you cannot accept that, you will not have a meaningful, significant life. The greatest product we leave is people. And the greatest meaning we find is how we get to change people by the grace of God. Now we're going to talk a lot about this stuff in details next year, but I'd just like to remind you of a verse that says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The church that is sort of the mother church of a church that we visited in China is actually in the Philippines. It was started by a bloke. I read up a bit about him. He said of himself that he's not a charismatic person and that often he actually doesn't hear the voice of God that clearly. He says he can only remember 3 times where he literally heard the voice of God. But he said this, which was very interesting to me. He says, I have decided, I'm sort of adding now, not quoting him directly, but in essence he said that he has decided that you are always in the will of God if you make disciples. You know how weird it is? We're always asking, should I be here? Should I be there? Is God saying this to me? Is God saying, and then we become paralyzed. We look like that scorpion on that stick. By the way, you couldn't see it on the photos, but those scorpions were still alive. They were like doing this on the stick. Ah! We! You know why that's a brilliant illustration? Because I find many people are like that. They're so paralyzed because am I doing the will of God? Is God working in me? But this guy said, you know what? I know that God wants to make disciples. And if I join him in that, God will bless it. You know how big that church is now? 50,000. In one city. They have so many services in one city. They've got 82 services over a weekend. Since he hasn't been to all the different areas that they've got a service because he can't join at all. See, the thing is not yet to be super spiritual or to hear the voice of God so clearly that you hear the angel Gabriel smacking you with a sword every second. But the issue is to join what God is doing. And the heart of God is this, to make disciples. Am I becoming clear enough about this? Does this make sense to you? Let's take the weirdness out of it. Let's take the weirdness out of it. And let's say, you know what? I can follow Christ. I'll never be perfect, but I can follow Christ. You know what? I can be a friend of sinners. By the way, that was the title of Jesus. He was a friend of sinners. Do people say that of you? Of me. Am I always isolating myself or am I in church?
Very simple, very easy. I'm just going to also ask us to distribute the elements of a communion. We're going to have communion together, and if a band can come to the front as well. And let's just give this moment to God as we finish off. This is probably our last big service for the year. Like I said, on Wednesday we're going to chat a bit more about what next year holds for us.